Well, I desire an interest in your prayers this morning. My desire is that preaching results in more than just a thought to consider, but that the Lord would bring inspiration, that it would be inspired to our hearts in a way that it would come alive in our hearts and help challenge us and encourage us on our way to heaven. A couple of weeks ago, we had a message. The subject of it was, "This is me. Lord, this is who I am." Not trying to cover anything up. Lord, here's where I stand. Most of the time, Lord, I stand in need of prayer. Lord, I need help. Lord, I'm not trying to cover up those areas of my life where I need help, but this is me. And the power that comes in prayer when we come before God with that attitude of heart, with that intellectual honesty and openness. Last week, we had a message on compassion. This morning, I am inspired to deliver a message by the help of the Lord that goes along with our Sunday school lessons, a message on words. Words. Solomon said in Proverbs 18 and 21, he said, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I suspect this morning that we as people don't consider enough the measurable impact that words have on other people. They're life-changing. Words can have life-changing impact on other people. And the Word of God has a lot to say about our words. In fact, Jesus went so far as to say that by our own words, we will be justified or we will be condemned at the judgment. By our own words, we'll be justified or we'll be condemned. Those, to me, that is a sobering declaration of truth. That when I stand before God, that He's going to look back over my past and He's going to bring all of my words back before me and before Him. And by those words, they're going to have a whole lot to do with whether I am justified or whether I am condemned at the judgment. It's strongly worded, it's sobering, and it applies to all of us. And so this morning, I'd like to consider the subject for a little while. I remember when I was very young. I don't think I'd even started school yet. And I was outside in the street and there was a group of children that were engaging in a war of words. And I don't think I was part of it. I think I was a bystander that time. And I was listening to them just issue hurtful words back and forth. And all of a sudden, a girl stepped back and she looked at him and she declared, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words shall never hurt me." And I never forgot that, and I know that probably everybody here has heard that little phrase. And I've thought about it a bit over the years. And I don't agree with it. Words can hurt far more than sticks and stones and broken bones. Words can hurt in such a way that people struggle ever finding healing from them in life. You can heal of a broken bone, but words can be so difficult if said in the wrong way. And conversely, a fitly spoken word can bring life that you never dreamed of. A fitly spoken word at the right time doesn't have to be many words. It can be a few number of words, or a single word, or three words from the heart that can result in life, resurrected life, to somebody that perhaps felt so hopeless. Words have power. We've probably all heard people say, "Oh, words are cheap. I don't put a whole lot of stock in words. Don't put a lot of value in words. They come and they go." Speaking of both kind words that are spoken as well as harshly spoken words. Well, sometimes saying that we're not affected by words is code for saying I'm very affected by spoken words. I know that sometimes we can let words slide. We don't take all words that are spoken to us through life. But there are other words that we swallow whole, sometimes unbeknownst to the people who issued the words. And words are like seeds that are sown. Some bring forth, others don't bring anything. Sometimes both bring alike, both good and bad. Some words that are spoken are swallowed, and they are fed, and they grow like trees and start developing a root system. And people can go through life and begin to water and feed the words that were spoken to them. Words that were difficult to hear and words that we receive with gratitude and thanksgiving. Words are powerful. You see, in the end, one of the most powerful tools that we carry around in our tool book of life are spoken words. Some of the most powerful. They have the power to bring life and death. Visit a courtroom, you'll find that out. Words have the power to lift up or push down, encourage or discourage. Words can bring hope, or words can confirm hopelessness in the minds of those that are struggling. And recklessly spoken words, as Solomon said in Proverbs in one place, pierce like a sword. This morning I would like to speak to three truths at a very high level. We don't have a lot of time, so this is going to maybe set a foundation. Three truths. The first is that words define us in the eyes of other people. Do you know that? Not in total, not in whole. I'm not saying that the words that we speak is the end all. But in part, words define us in the eyes of others. Our words speak to the condition of our heart. Not in whole, but they are a real indicator. Our words speak to the condition of our heart. And yes, our words indeed do have a profound impact on other people. Our words impact others. We are beings that are created to communicate. God created us that way. And we communicate with words. We communicate, and I'm going to put this all in one basket. We communicate with what words we use and how we say them. Our inflection of our voice, the words that we choose to use, and our body language. And over time, sometimes just a little bit of time, our words begin to define us in the eyes of other people. Our words are a very large part of the fruit that we bear in our lives. Jesus said, "You'll know people by their fruit." That's what comes out. Fruit is what is born. We don't see roots under the ground. We see a tree that's above the ground. And then under the ground are things that we don't see. I can't see into everyone's heart. Can't see into anybody's heart, really, accurately, completely. But I do see the fruit. And I hear the fruit. And Jesus made the point that by your fruit, people are going to know you. And then he repeated that just several verses down, almost to emphasize the point. By your fruit, you will be known. And sometimes in a very short period of time, people begin to identify us with the words that we say. Because it becomes the fruit of our lives. And so a question that maybe would be good to ask ourselves this morning is, how is your tongue defining you? How does your tongue define you? Some people are known by few words. Some people are known by their many words. Some are known by their kind words. Some are known by their judgmental words. Some are known as people that are positive people. Why do we know people as positive people? It's because they say positive things. Just as we know people as being negative, that's a negative person. That's negative energy. Have you ever heard that? That's just negative energy around that person. Oftentimes it's because they're saying negative things as a pattern. And people began to define us by the words that we speak. Our influence that we have to represent Jesus Christ to the world is largely predicated on how other people perceive us. And our words have a large impact on how other people perceive us. And I believe this morning that we have a God-given responsibility to be an accurate representation to the world of who Jesus Christ is. The Lord wants us to be representatives, ambassadors of Christ. And if that is so, and it is, may God help us that we strive to be known by words of life, words of encouragement. I'm not saying that means that we don't address difficult situations with words that sometimes hurt, but that the motive behind that is ultimately to lift up people and to help them. I want to be a representative of Jesus Christ. I want others to be able to look on my life and see Jesus through the fruit of my life. And a large part of that has to do with how other people view me based on the words that I say. Words speak to the condition of our heart. It's not completely accurate. Sometimes it's not accurate at all. Sometimes we say things that we don't mean and we don't feel. But I'd like to read this morning what Jesus said about it. In the 12th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said in the 33rd verse, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt." Listen, "for the tree is known by his fruit." The 34th says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Out of the abundance. After a while, the abundance of what is in your heart is probably going to eventually spill out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you," this is sobering, this is Jesus, not me, "but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So words are important. We can say, try to shrink back from the responsibility that we have with our words, but by the words of Jesus Christ, his exhortation is that they're important, and that they matter, and that they mean something, and that often they expose the condition of our heart. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And we know that God judges us by our heart. God looks on the inward. Man looks on the outward, but God will look on the inward. But he took it a step further by helping us understand that, yes, I look on the heart, but after a while, the mouth, the tongue, is an indicator. It is a indicator, one indicator of several, of the condition of your heart. Consider this quote: "A critical heart may speak critical words, a bitter heart stinging words, self-righteous heart judgmental words, a thankless heart words of complaint. Loving heart speaks uplifting words, a contented heart words of faith, an humble heart words of acceptance," and so on. We can learn by listening to ourselves. Now, that's not the best way to learn about yourself. May God help us give consideration before we speak. However, other people learn about us by what we speak. We can learn about ourselves too with what we say. And if we were to evaluate the condition of our heart based on the words that we speak, would we be okay with it? Are we okay with it? And if we believe that, no, my words are not consistent with how I really feel, and it might be true. Oftentimes it is. People that are hurt can say things they really don't mean. We need to realize that too. As we read this morning, hurting people say hurtful things that are oftentimes not meant personally. Sometimes it's a cry for help. Thus, why the Lord would like us to be compassionate. Give people space and room. Be slow to judge. But as I contemplate and consider being responsible for my own words, I want to remember that what I say may be an indicator of what's in my heart. And if I have love and contentment and humility in my heart, then oftentimes that comes out as words of life to other people through the words that I say. Which brings us to this last point. Brothers and sisters, your words impact other people. We would be wise to consider the consequences of our words and think about what we're planning on saying before we say it. Words that are critical, words that are judgmental, words that put people in their place, words that stir up strife, words that are intended to stir the pot. You know what I'm talking about. They're oftentimes are not words that tend to life. They do the opposite. They suck life away. The Lord wants us as people of God to speak words of life, words that would be encouraging, words that would uplift other people. So Paul cautions that we speak words of edification in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Paul said, in the 29th verse, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And he said in Colossians 4 and 6, let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt. Yes, speech means our conversation. It means our way of life, our way of living, the whole of the decisions that we make in life. Let our behaviors, let our actions, let our words be with grace, seasoned with that which brings out good. May God help us do that in our interaction with other people. One man said, words can inspire and words can destroy. Choose your words well. Words can inspire, words can destroy. Choose your words well. And one translation of Proverbs 15 and 4 is, gentle words bring life and health. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Folks, careless and reckless words that are thrown around without much thought can cause a lot of damage. That's very difficult to undo. We probably all have been guilty, I have, on more than one occasion, of feeling the pressure of life, allowing things to affect our emotions, and we turn on those that are close to us, and we say words that can be hurtful and harsh that don't have anything to do with the person they're directed at. It has everything to do with what's going on in my heart and in my life that may be totally, completely separate from you as a person. Last Sunday, that's why we preached on compassion. Let's be compassionate to people that may do that. But as we consider the responsibility that we have for our own words, words can take root and grow. And it's difficult to go back to somebody after we have said very hurtful, critical, judgmental words, or words that push down as opposed to lift up, and they are issued in a very personal manner, and then we have to go back and say, that really wasn't about you, that was about something completely different. And it might have been. But if you're the one that's on the receiving end, it's hard to swallow. Words can be forgiven, but it's harder to forget. Words can be forgiven, but it's harder to forget words. Heaven hears them. Other people hear them. If we don't mean them, let's be careful that we don't say them. You've heard before the little phrase, before you speak, ask yourself, is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? If you don't know if it's true, that's probably a good spot to stop. If it is true, then ask yourself, is it necessary to say them? Not everything that's true needs to be spoken. Some people say, well, I just say it like it is. I just get it out there. If that's the way it is, that's just the way I say it. Well, God doesn't always want us to say it just the way it is. The Scriptures teach that not everything's expedient. It might be lawful, might be true, might technically be true, but it's not always expedient. Jesus didn't always say everything that he knew was true. Jesus held his tongue often. It's not always necessary to say everything that you believe is true. If it is true and it is necessary, then the next threshold is, can you say it in a kind way? Is it kind? If it's true and it needs to be said, but you can't say it in a kind way that serves to uplift, then maybe it's not time to say it. And I know one Sunday night we spoke about, are you the designated messenger? Sometimes it's true, it's necessary, yes, you can say it kind, but you're not the designated messenger. You see why it's helpful to be slow to speak and quick to hear? There's a flip side to all of this that I want to get to before we close. Brother Tony brought some of this out in Sunday school. If we can stay close to Jesus, if we can be filled with the Spirit of Christ, if we can hear when He knocks on our door and has a word for us to speak, and we are able to speak a word that is fitly spoken. Do you remember what Solomon said that word is like? Apples of gold in pictures of silver. How do you put a value on that? Apples of gold? Not apple. Apples. Multiple apples. Solid gold. In pictures of silver. Hard to put a value on apples of gold and pictures of silver. And the wise man said that, oh, if you have a word that is right for the moment, and you're able to issue that word and offer it, and it's fitly spoken, the value of it is hard to put a numerical value on. We could probably all this morning think back in our lives when somebody had a fitly spoken word in your life and it made all the difference. And you can't put a value on those. Sometimes when you're in great need and you're in a dark place and you seem like you're all by yourself and somebody has been in touch with God and the Lord put on their hearts to send you a card with a fitly spoken word and you received it in the mail in one of your darkest, hardest times and it was like a word from heaven that lifted you up in a way that you couldn't even put a value on it. The Lord wants to use us for such. God wants to use us to offer fitly spoken words. Brother Clifford Wilson was a great influence on my life, and when I was a teenager, he would catch me in the chapel. And he'd look at me, and he wouldn't say very many words. He'd look down, and he'd get a little smile on his face, and he'd say, "I'm counting on you, boy." And that's all he'd say. And he said it with love. And I knew he cared about me. And he was also inserting some accountability by saying that. I knew that. I felt responsible. But I felt love and I felt care. I grew up in a home where my parents offered many words that were fitly spoken that made a difference in my life. Fathers, give your boys and your girls words of affirmation. Let them know you love them from the heart. I'm not talking about empty words. When the Lord speaks to us as a result of us living close to Him, when that window of opportunity comes by, as was mentioned earlier, it's hard to plan for them always. But when we are in touch with the Spirit of Christ, and that window of opportunity passes our way, and the Lord puts His hand on us and gives you words to speak, don't hold them in. It can mean so much for the rest of your life. It can help lift up those that feel trodden down. Those that feel like they are uncared for. I want to say this too to the children and the young people. We preach to parents often. I have a truth to share. Parents aren't Teflon. They can't be told just whatever comes to your mind and they are unaffected by it. Parents are affected by your words too, young people and children. And you can help encourage your parents with words fitly spoken. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. Lord, Dad, I appreciate. Mom, I appreciate what you did. You don't understand the value of that. And sometimes we can take our parents for granted. And just feel like, well, they're just their children. They already know. And we can hold back on offering the word that is fitly spoken for them. Let's be encouraged, all of us, regardless of our age, that we be an instrument and a mouthpiece for Jesus Christ. That we aren't defined in the eyes of others by negativity and a critical spirit, but to the contrary. And that if we find that the words of our mouth speak to a condition that we're not comfortable with, that we be willing to get back on our knees before the Lord and ask for help to resolve the discrepancy. And that we live our lives recognizing that our words have a significant impact on the lives of other people. All of these things speak to who we are as people. And when we stand before God, these things make a difference. Never underestimate the power of words. And may God help us be careful and thoughtful as we live our lives that we can speak words to edification. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.